Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Deuce, and on Wednesday I listen to GQ Palace Radio with the Diva Squad. Diva Squad. Diva Squad.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Shay, and I want to say I love chilling with the Diva Squad on Wednesday, talking about I love them. Shout out to the GQ Palace. It's
Buttery. The Diva Squad.
This is Thaisa, and on Wednesdays, I listen to the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio.
Hey, hey, it's Lavina. If you haven't heard, the best place to be is chilling with the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio. Love Fantasy is Buttery.
Welcome to GQ Palace Radio. You are now on Love Fantasy with your Diva Squad. It's Butter Baby, baby, baby.
Miss Mo, Miss Mo, Miss Mo, Miss Mo, Miss Mo.
IDGYAVA. Yeah, then the middle light morning to the EA. All of my exes mad because they was playing, so I hit my homegirls and told them I can't stay in. Try life stuck on me, that's how I seen. Stepping out, down a rocks, no supreme. See, it took about an hour just to fit it in these jeans, and I don't see no end of future or the scene. So I bet you wishing that you had me back. And knew my frame now on the catch a track. So could you please holler at me when the catch is set? And I heard the new girl that you have is whack. I got that web, web, what is foul? What you hollering about? Money talk, keep quiet, baby, let your dollar shout. And I got what you want, bet I'm never running out. Checking in, that's place in the bands, I'm coming out like.
You are now tuned in to GQ Power Radio, Radio Love.
Queen in the building. Y'all ladies in the building with me or what? What's going on?
Yes, I'm here. I'm
here. Hey. Hey, Storm. What's going on, lady?
Hey. Sir,
are you there?
So...
Hi. Ray
yeah.
Queen, what's going on, boo-boo?
Yeah. Hey.
All right. Again, you are on live GQ Palace Radio, where this is an adult topic. This is an adult show, so we promote 18 and older callers. I don't know if y'all was watching me live on Facebook, you know, explaining all those good things to you, you know, but I appreciate you guys for listening. When you call in the show, you have to press 1 in order to go on the air and speak to us live. So the number again for the PC users is 646-200-3838. We deal with strictly opinions over here. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. We're not licensed psychologists, so we're not here to fix anybody. However, if we can support you in any way, we will try to do so or point you in the right direction as to where you can get some support. There's a lot of people that call with a lot of good information and advice, and if you can use it, then feel free to do so. You know, and I again, we appreciate you guys over here at GQ Palace Radio. I'm going to start out giving a birthday shout-outs to everybody, to Brandy and a few other people that are celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday. It's still summer season, a.k.a. Cancer. I call it a summer. Because cancer is such an ugly thing that we don't really want to claim that. So happy birthday to those who are celebrating.
Happy birthday.
In this summer
happy
season.
Birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. Celebrate responsibly. You know, go out drinking, call Uber, friend, somebody. You know, no drinking and driving and stuff like
that's
that.
That's right.
So.
That's right.
Yeah, we want y'all to make it home and everybody else on the road to make it home. So, you know, celebrate responsibly. What you ladies got going on?
I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little tired. I'm a little tired today, but I definitely want to give a shout out to you beautiful ladies for us getting together last week. Definitely needed it. It was some good laughs, good conversation, you know.
Yeah,
I definitely enjoyed myself. And you know what? It was it wasn't even like it was an all night thing, you know?
Yeah, quick adventure. That was a quick
right. You know what?
A lot of stuff happened in that short amount of time that we was together. That was awesome.
I know, but you know what? It was nice.
It was nice.
I feel like perfect. I needed that of like working so much, and then you know sometimes you just need to be around the people you know that love you besides your old man. You know, like your family.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So I want to say thank you for you guys. Definitely. You know,
please.
Coming out
that's
with us, you know.
Necessary. That's not
and
even
River,
necessary.
Look,
we just got to do it again. Well, y'all don't have to. We don't have to rush. That's the thing.
Look, we don't have to. Look, and we're not. And my mom don't put us on a curfew and stuff like that.
Mama loves it.
Yes.
Listen, y'all got an hour.
Yes.
That was funny.
And she was that serious. And when
she
I got
was
home,
serious.
She was awake. She was awake.
She didn't listen. She didn't want y'all dragging ass the next morning. She know y'all had stuff to do, had stuff going on. And she didn't want y'all dragging tail. You know what
Listen,
I'm saying?
She was awake, laying across the bed, talking about, you're going to be up at 4:30 in the morning. I said, no, Mom. No. I will not be up at 4:30 in the morning for anybody. I'll get up at like 5 or 5:30. So sure enough, she come in the living room at 5 o'clock. Beanie. You know, wake me up. I jump right up and I was like, I'm ready. You know, let me get in the shower, get myself together. So, yes, it was great. So, definitely shout out to you guys and then shout out to Unity Baptist Church, you know, for Matterfoot Sales Day. It was my first time and my sister's time being on the women's ministry where we get to take place, you know, usually with ushers. You know, well, I'm the usher usually. But it felt good to take part in something, I guess, a little bit more now that I'm getting older. So to be a part of the women's ministry was great. And the Madison Sales Day was great. We raised like $1,000 and it was $480 on Saturday. So by the time Sunday came, we reached the $1,500.
Oh, that was
cool. We reached $1,500 and it was, when I tell you, it was great. We enjoyed ourselves just helping out and stuff. So definitely shout out to them. But I want to say also, quick shout out, this Saturday, what is it? What's the Saturday? Is it the 15th? The 15th, Unity Baptist Church is having a car wash down on Factory Avenue in Mattituck. So if you guys just, you know, bring your cars on down and get a car wash, it's from 8 to 12. If you don't want your car wash, all donations are accepted as well. You know, we look forward to you guys can come by, get your car wash, and on top of that, you can have some barbecue food because they're barbecuing too. So definitely, you know, come and check us out.
They got it going on down there.
We're trying. So shout out to all of them. It was definitely great being a part of that. Shout out to, you know, my fiance Rich Money for our anniversary, 6 years strong.
Happy anniversary.
You know, that was on the 9th, so definitely happy anniversary to him once again. And thank you guys for all your love and support. It means a lot.
Thank you.
God.
Now I'm passing it to Rachel. Ray Queen, what you got? What you got?
Well, this past Sunday I went to Perfect and Faith Church Without Walls, hosted by none other than the Donnie McClurkin, and it was awesome. I really enjoyed myself. I think I'll be going again next Sunday, and we should all get together and go sometime.
Okay. Well, I know this Sunday it won't happen for me, so I'm going to be out.
They do it every Sunday in July and August at 3 o'clock in the Western Beef parking lot in Nassau County, and it's awesome. It's so nice.
It looked like it was nice that you had a nice time.
It looked like it was hot.
It was hot, but I made sure I packed up a cooler with my with my fluids and anything I wanted to snack on. I had my chair, my folding chair with the umbrella, so I was good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you were prepared.
I definitely did. Yeah, I had gone before, so I knew what to do, what to bring.
Okay. Again, like I stated on my Facebook Live earlier, if anybody has anything that you would like us to discuss on a show, you could hit one of us divas up in our inbox. Do we still have the GQ Palace email, or did that change? Because I wasn't sure.
No, we have two. We have GQ002 at gmail.com, and then also we're starting to use GQ Palace Radio as well, GQ Palace Radio at gmail.com as well. We're using both of them. So anything you guys want to send in, please feel free to send it on in. We are ready. We are working.
Absolutely. Shout out to Storm in the building. We're going to see her on the screen soon.
Ring her. Yeah. Y'all so crazy. Yes.
All right.
You know what? I'm excited. But, you know, we got to start working. You know, we spoke, Diva. We got some things we got to do for GQ Palace, and it's about that time. So we got to definitely start working. You know, indeed, we are looking for sponsors as well. Every little bit helps. Anybody want to sponsor GQ Palace, Diva Squad, GQ Palace as a whole, GQ Palace Love and Entertainment, you name it. You know, we are definitely looking for sponsors as well.
Yes.
So this is our year. This is our season. It's time to do what we got to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Speaking it into existence. Yes.
All sponsorships are accepted. Are welcomed, I should say. You know, we definitely appreciate you guys' support. So if you have nothing else, we're going to get into tonight's topic.
Bye-bye.
If y'all don't have anything else, so.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, tonight's topic is on the slain police officer, Maya Soda's familia, which she's from the Bronx. She's a 34-year-old officer for the New York Police Department that was slain sitting in her car filling out paperwork on July 5th. Now, the gunman, his name was Alexander Bonds. He just walked up to the car and shot one time through the window and shot her in the head, killing her. She was an hour into her overnight shift. And now, the guy, Alexander Bonds, it was stated in the articles that 911 has been called on him three times prior to that day by his girlfriend. And she told him that he's acting, you know, like a maniac and very, he was acting manic. Excuse me. He was acting manic and paranoid. He had a history of hospitalizations for mental illness and previous expressed anger towards law enforcement. This is, you know.
Oh, go on.
As per New York Post. Stuff like that, you wonder, like, if y'all kind of knew he had, like, issues and stuff, why was he out in the streets? But he was killed later that night by the police department in New York. It's a sad situation, but there's a lot of questions that are being asked, you know, as far as to why do you think this happened. And before we even get into the actual questions, that, you know, her funeral, it was 10 blocks on the Grand Concourse filled with police departments from all over the country.
Heard.
Yes, filled with police officers all over the country. Now, the only thing, now, you had some New York police departments, police officers, excuse me, had them protest at her funeral against Mayor de Blasio. My thing is, you have a right to protest, but I don't think you should do it at someone's funeral. You have plenty of other times where you can go right to his office and protest if that's what you mean. You understand what I'm saying? Now, they're saying that they were protesting because of his alleged attending the G20 summit instead of the vigil that they had for her that night. The night they had a vigil, he went to the G20, which anybody that knows the G20 is a summit of the top 20 countries, the top, like, richest countries in trade. So that was held over in Germany. He went there. He went to the G20 summit and not the vigil. But their main issue with Mayor de Blasio is he has stood in Black Lives Matter protests. He stood in form with them, with the Black Lives mm-hmm. Matter, you know, and he stated how he's married to a black woman. He has black children, and he was saying how that could be his son, that has been killed unjustly by a police officer. So I was kind of like confused, like which I'm not really even picking sides, you know, because mm-hmm. the police officers themselves thinking that he's wrong, he should stand with the police officers first. But then he was standing with the people that has been killed. You understand what I'm saying? Which I if I was him, I would do what I feel is right. You know what I mean? It might cost me some friends. You know what I mean? But as long as you're doing right, you don't mind that. You don't mind losing friendship with people. You know, because what he said made sense. That could have been my son that's been killed. You know, mm-hmm. being a black male. My son could have been killed as well. So, and the thing is, when are the police officers, the good police officers, going to shut the bad ones down? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I understand it's a dangerous position and all kinds of other stuff. But when are they going to start charging police officers with the crimes that they're committing?
I don't think they will. Unless enough of us stand together and do something about it. Enough people have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just one or two or five of us. I mean several. So many people have to do something. There is no law for these people, these police officers who are committing so many crimes. Not only are they killing people, they're not, you know, they're getting away with a lot of things. Pulling people over just for no reason, racially profiling, and, you know, just committing a lot of crimes themselves and not even getting looked at. It's sad.
Yeah. They're not even really getting a slap on the wrist. It's like, you know, people make mistakes, but you pay for those mistakes. You understand
not the
what
police
I'm saying?
Officer.
Whether you're a police officer or a civilian, like, you have to pay for your mistakes.
Exactly.
And their mistakes
not
are costing people their lives. You know, and
swept right
and,
under the carpet.
Under the rug. And you know what's happening? You know what's happening now is they set the precedent now of people not respecting law enforcement. You know what I mean? And this is why things like this are happening to police officers. So,
let's just bring on our first caller. So that we can
I was going to say open the line up.
Yeah, with her as well. Caller, are you there?
Are you talking about me?
Yes, ma'am.
Talking about me?
Sorry. Didn't know who else you were talking to.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hi, Divas. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Good. I had so much fun the last time I had to come back.
Yeah, I know that's
always
right.
Awesome. You always welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We appreciate you calling back and joining in with our show. Have you been listening to what we're speaking about?
Yes, and I was actually really glad that you gave the history on it because I live in Florida now, and we do get the stories, but a lot of, like, the little details aren't really relayed the same way that they are in the same state that the situation happens.
Right, right.
So I didn't realize, like, really how messed up that whole situation is, and it's just so sad. We definitely need to do something about our mental health care in the United States.
Oh, that was my next point. I'm glad you brought that up too, Gina, because a lot of that stuff goes, you know, undetected and stuff like that. And I'm sorry, I didn't really do enough research, which I normally do, on like signs of mental health or whatever. You know what I mean? But you know, a lot of times signs are there, but people just brush it off like it's not that serious, and then you're really dealing with a sick person. Now, if the police was called on him 3 times prior to this even happening, why is he still walking around? Why are you guys?
And it was
not
by a woman
that
was in love with him. You know, when you add that component, like, this is a woman that was his girlfriend. I'm sure she was in love with him at some point. And if she's calling 3 times, you know, because she's desperately reaching out, like, and for that just to be ignored, like, was it ignored? Like, that's the part I don't understand. Did they not try to find him? Could they not find him because it was New York? Like, what was? It was in New York, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
In the Bronx. Yes. Yep, and it's just a sad situation that, you know, I don't condone killing of anybody, whether you're a police officer or a civilian or whatever. I don't condone that in no way, shape, form, or fashion, unless you're defending yourself. You know what I
mean?
Absolutely. And like I said, are the police themselves setting this precedent where people are not respecting them? You know what I mean?
Well, did you guys see the article about the person about the teenager that was driving up and down the road during the funeral with playing the song F the Police?
No.
Yes, at the funeral, at her memorial on the grave.
Oh, my gosh. But see, you know, stuff like that, that's just pure ignorance. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm not happy with innocent people being, blood being shed by the police officers either. But When you do stuff like that and give them ammunition, right now, whether we like it or not, they have the upper hand. You know, understand what I'm saying? Because they're being protected by their badge. Their badge is protecting them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying sell your soul for anything, but, you know, don't be ignorant. Don't do stupid stuff.
I think a lot of the times the issues are so important, but they get so blurred, and that's why they're so overlooked. Like, yes, when, you know, Trayvon Martin died and when Eric Garner died, well, Trayvon Martin wasn't killed by a police officer, but a wannabe police officer who, God forbid, ever did become a police officer would have that type of mentality,
Lord.
Like the one with Eric Garner and the young guy, Corey, oh my God, his name just slipped my head. The guy, there was a gentleman down here, he was a drummer for his local church, like a couple of towns, you know, further south than I am, who was driving home and got into a car accident and was shot by a police officer. You know, you hear like all these random stories, and that is absolutely screwed up, and it's absolutely heartbreaking, and it's absolutely wrong that these police officers aren't being held accountable the same way that our young
right.
black men are. You know what I'm saying? But at the same token, when anybody, whatever walk of life that you are, whatever color skin you have, whatever your occupation is, you don't deserve to be sitting in a car minding your own business and get shot in the head for absolutely no reason.
And to get killed. That's true.
Right.
Right. Right.
And just because those officers did wrong does not mean that anybody has the right to take away from this beautiful woman's life and from her family and from their grieving and from, you know,
right.
their whole process of dealing with it. She deserves
right.
justice just the same as, you know, Eric Gardner, you know?
Right, right. That's so true. And there was a police officer who actually posted a video earlier on Facebook, and he was calling out the entertainers and athletes and stuff. It's like, oh, well, where are all you guys at now with the protests? I don't see anybody protesting now. And he called everybody that was killed, like Trayvon Martin and all of them, he called them thugs and hoods and criminals.
Mm-mm.
He called them. This is what he called them. You understand what I'm saying? You know,
mm-hmm.
and that was so far-fetched from the truth. You know.
Wow. But,
yeah,
but you
that
know what it
that
is?
was really crazy, and I didn't even really get into it because it was actually getting close time for us to get on the radio. But I don't even did I share it? I don't even think I shared it. But
look, now I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong because I made a statement. I want to definitely correct myself. I just found the article. The person had said that it was the person drove up and down the concourse. The person didn't. The funeral home was near the person's house. And he was blasting MWA's music, you know,
wow.
at the police. It was NWA's music that he was blasting. And, like,
right,
20
right.
cops went to his door to have him turn the music off, you know, or turn the music down. And his
right.
response was that the police killed his brother and somebody else.
Wow.
And his family. The cop killed his brother and his best friend. And that's why he
feels
the way he does. Yep.
Wow.
Sorry. Go ahead. I just wanted
no, no,
to
no.
That's
good. No,
that.
I'm glad you have that information. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to give out wrong information over here. Talk about, oh, you heard them talking and you didn't know what you was talking about.
Exactly.
Now we
definitely
fact check when we speak about stuff. We fact check.
That's right.
You know, and Google's this ain't alternative
friend.
Facts.
That's right. Google's
this
my
ain't,
best
this ain't alternative facts, but like I said, like the question is again, the police officers, are they setting the precedent for this? For them, are they opening the doors up? You know what I'm saying? It used to be about protect and serve. Now it is shoot to kill. You understand what I'm saying? Now every police officer, like they said, you're the one who walking around with the weapon and stuff, but they always claim that they're fearing for their lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you
and
know what's
now,
crazy
what,
about it is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off,
is
that it's only shoot to kill when it is young black men, and those videos have showed that time and time again, and this has been a long story and a long history, and it's just really
mm-hmm.
being highlighted and brought to light now because of social media and because really
mm-hmm.
everybody walks around with a video camera and on their cell phone, so it's more accessible. But when you see the videos of like that crazy looking white boy who shot up all those innocent people in the church who were black
mm-hmm.
and the officer stopping to buy you Burger King afterwards because you're hungry. No, you need to choke on that damn Whopper. Like, you don't need to be eating right now. Like, it's stories like
awesome.
that make it that much, you know, when these
yep.
situations happen, that, you know, that hurts. And now I'm a white woman. But, you know, when you see me walking down the street, I'm white, but you don't know who I am and who my family is and who, you know, my loved ones are. My brother-in-law, who I adore more than anything, is black. My nieces are black. And when I think of, they're mixed, but they're viewed as, you know, black girls because they do look more African-American than they do white. So when they're not with my sister, myself, my mother, or, you know, their quote-unquote white side of the family, you know, people view them as, you know, little black girls. So, you know, it petrifies me to think that, you know, this is what my nieces are going to grow up to, you know, or that poor lady, I'm bad with names tonight, I apologize, the poor lady that I know you guys had a show on it about a month ago when she was sitting in the car with the boyfriend and her little girl in the backseat.
Yeah,
killed him for no reason because you smelled weed. Big deal. That should have meant the guy was calm as
but
hell.
That was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed he pulled him over for a doggone a busted taillight.
Tail
again, not knowing, y'all pulled this man over 56 times and no conviction. Why are you
still telling him to get the license and the registration after he gave up the information that he had a gun? Like, you should have at that point forwent the license and the registration if you were that, you know, nervous or whatever the situation was. You could have just asked for his name and ran it that way.
Right. Right. Right.
But
yeah,
you know what?
I think they need to all go back for some type of training, too.
Yeah, but you know what? It also goes back to, of course, you know, I got to play devil's advocate. You know, when we talk about, you know, the whole race, you know, the race card, and we start to discuss stuff like that. Now, the person that killed this police officer, what was his nationality? Does anybody know?
No, it didn't. Actually, it didn't even say. I think he was a black man, though.
Look, I'm looking at a bald-headed black man.
Black man.
So,
he was a black man. I remember seeing the picture now.
So let's play devil's advocate. Now, when you look at the cop's picture, who was murdered, she could be a African American woman. Just by looking at her, you don't know her nationality. So I go back to saying once again, when we talk about crimes being committed and stuff like that, you have black people killing black people. And then you wonder why it's okay for a white cop to kill the little black kid that's walking down the street or pull somebody over and kill them. You wonder why. You wonder why that's justifiable. If you're killing your own people, you're killing your own kind.
Yep.
And now you want to sit and you want to figure out why it's happening. If you don't care about your own nationality, what makes you think any other nationality will?
You know what? They never will anyway, to a certain extent.
Devil's advocate. That's all I'm doing. Devil's advocate. That's it. Just saying.
No,
you know,
but
like,
it's a good question. No, and it's happening. You know, we are out here competing against each other, bucking against each other for what? Like, you know, like you said, all you're doing is opening your is making yourself vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not sticking together. Build a wall like, no offense, but like gay people, they built the wall. Any other nationality, you see, like in the Chinese stores, you don't see nobody but Chinese people working. You understand what I'm saying? The Spanish, the bodegas and stuff, all their peoples are working in there. You know what I mean?
They're working together.
Where are we standing? No, we're bucking against to see who paid the most for the jeans that we're wearing. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, I got them new J's or whatever. Guess what? You paid $1,500 for a $50 pair of shoes.
Jackass. Oops, I mean, silly person. Sorry, Rich Money. That slipped out.
That was right. Jackass, because trust me. The word I wanted to come out with was a lot more graphic, believe me.
You know, I'm usually good with that, but I just think that's crazy. You know,
Jackass ain't
crazy.
That bad. My pastor uses that.
Does he? Pastor?
My pastor used Jackass.
So what do you guys, what do you think that should be done? How about that? We're talking about the situation right now that happened. We're talking about different crimes that have been committed. We're talking about just people mistreating each other in general. Let's just take out the black-white thing. What do you guys think? What's your opinion? How do you think that we can fix things or fix our community, let's just say, because we can't fix the world, but you can start with your community. What do you feel we can do?
I think that we need a series of – I'll go first.
Okay.
Since I started, I'm sorry. I'm so bad at that. I think the first thing that America as a whole in all 50 states needs to do is to really evaluate the medical health system and stop just handing out, you know, these psychotropic meds to random people and, you know, really evaluate them and their situation, because 9 times out of 10, it seems like to me that the people that need it don't get the treatment and the people that don't need it are overtreated. And that's part of the problem. You know, is that, you know, scripts are just being written for whatever reason. You know, oh, you got a, you know, toothache. Okay, you know, here, you know. I mean, my best friend's sister got addicted to pain medication because she had a herniated disc in, you know, high school. And to this day, she's still on heroin because of those scripts in high school.
But you know what? Okay, devil's advocate once again. You know I got to go there. Devil's advocate. You guys know I work in psych. All right. Now, I done seen a lot of stuff when it comes from teenagers, little kids, mind you, 5-year-olds who are just trying to develop their brain pretty much at this point. 5 years old, unwanted, parents cracked out, you name it. The state then came in and took the kids. So now guess what? Now your state's property. okay? We're going to go from little kids to teenagers to adults. Now, please forgive me when I say this. I've seen a lot of people come in and they were exposed to, let's just say, they start off with a typical weed. You know, they want to smoke marijuana. Okay, great. But you know what? After smoking marijuana for 5, 10 years, guess what? You're not getting the same high anymore. You're just doing it just to do it at this point because you can't possibly still get high the same way you first got high when you initially took that pull. It's impossible. Unless you're switching up that marijuana every single time, it's going to start to get old to you, and now you're immune, just like any type of medication that you get and that you take. Now, let's just say they prescribe you Percocet, right? Well, damn, you know what? That Percocet's not working no more. But you just happen to be the type of person that they can give you some Vicodin, and that Vicodin works better than that Percocet. Well, doctor, I'm going to need something a little bit stronger, only because this right here is not working. You know, now the doctor's job is to prescribe you medication because you're saying you're feeling this type of pain. Now, they're not going to keep prescribing you the same medicine over and over and over again unless you keep coming saying, you know what, I have this unbearable pain that I can't seem to get rid of, and this medicine's not really helping me. Oh, you know what, boo, you might want to try this, or you might want to, there's other solutions to it. Now, I've seen some crackheads don't come up in the building, like, their kids is on some medicine. Next thing you know, now they want that Abilify. You know, they want that Lorazine. They want that prescription for it now because they're cracking. The moral to the story is I believe that when people start increasing the type of drug that they're using, that's their drug of choice. That's what their money can afford, because we got 14-year-old girls that's doing heroin right about now. We got these girls, they still doing Molly, they still doing X-Pills. When I tell you, they still doing K2, they doing all this stuff. And you know why?
You should see the stuff they're doing here.
Easy, right, they're so easy to get it. They can go to somebody's house, they can pull one trick, and they get, next thing you know, they high for the whole night. Well, guess what? I can go to my mama's pocketbook and I can steal her money, or I can leave my mother's money alone and I can keep turning those tricks because I like that money and I like that feeling of getting high. So now guess what? Now I'm going to continue to get high because that's what I want to do. So now you got a kid, a teenager, strung out in the streets, turning tricks, trying to get high. Whose fault is that? You see what I'm saying? Whose fault is that? It's accountability, but accountability for who? Because then you got the parents crying, oh, I want my kid out the street. Oh, send my kid to this group home because I can't take care of them because they're not listening to me. You know why? Because all that structure you should have started from the beginning, you didn't. And you let society raise your kid. So now that society has taken charge of your kid's life, now your kid is strung out doing drugs, turning tricks. And now you want to blame the system.
Yeah, but listen, let me tell you something. That's like you have a lot of kids with ADHD and ADD, and you know a lot of different diagnosis going on. Ritalin, I would never recommend anybody put their children on Ritalin. You understand what I'm saying? Because it makes them grow up to be drug addicts.
The most cases
that I've seen, they grew up to be on drugs because of that Ritalin. Because that's all it is. It's a bunch of dope. It dopes your children up.
Right,
you know
but
what
you
I
get
mean?
A check for it. You get a check
and
for
like,
it.
And, like, exactly. See, that's the thing.
You
now you're
check.
Getting this SSI check because your kid was diagnosed with a certain thing and they have to be on medication and all that stuff, so you're getting a check. Now, like you were saying, Storm, these doctors and stuff have to start researching alternative motives, lack of a better word. Lord have mercy, get my brain right.
You know what it is?
Alternative methods, excuse me, alternative methods to calming these children or to seeing what's really going on or whatever, because you have some parents that the kid's a little hyper, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing that a little wooden spoon to their behind won't take care of. Sit down.
No.
You know what I mean?
CPS takes them. CPS will take your kid.
See, and
you discipline
your
kid,
exactly.
CPS is coming in your house. Let me tell you something.
Yep.
At my job, they call CPS with the quickness. Just letting you know. Let your kid come up in there saying, my mama pulled my hair, my mother smacked me in my mouth. They call a CPS on you. And then guess what?
The schools themselves are doing it.
I'm going to tell you, when it comes down to, oh, and I can only tell you firsthand experience of what I've experienced since I've been there, and I'm like 7 years in at this point. And I can tell you, we try therapeutic groups, we try one-on-one sessions, we try groups, we try activities. When I tell you, we try a lot of different stuff before your kid is put on medication.
Medicine,
but
right,
best believe,
right.
The first thing that they think about is medication. But what they do is they monitor your kid and they monitor your family sessions without you even realizing that, hey, you know what? I'm coming in to discuss my kid. But at the same time, they're paying attention to how you are with your kid. Are you visiting your kid? Are you bringing your kid food? Are you talking to your kid about everyday life stuff? Are you trying to push your kid to get an education? Or are you pretty much saying, you know what, your behavior, I can't deal with you. I'm going to deal with this man instead because this man right here loves me, and I'm going to leave you right here in this hospital. See what I'm saying? It's like a catch-22. But when these people tell you your kid's going to get a check, or you're going to get a check for your kid, these parents are happy. They're at Social Security probably the next day when they first get it. They're there.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Now they can get a check
and money.
Your kid is diagnosed with something. And that's a good between $500 and $1,000 right there.
That's crazy.
See?
That's crazy.
Starts at home.
It is crazy. And you know
facts.
What? Also,
that's,
too, we don't pay attention to some is the diet sometimes, too. It's the kid's diet. Now, you know you got a hyper kid. You don't go out there and buy him a shitload of sugar. You understand
why
what
not?
I'm saying? You don't go out there to the – you avoid that. Listen, you ain't getting no doggone candy. Uh-uh. You already bouncing enough. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, they had to create jobs for people. And this is where CPS came into play. We're going to create jobs to keep this going and all of that stuff. You know what I mean? Because back in the day, I've never, when we were young, I've never heard of CPS.
No.
Never heard of child sex services. Now, not to say that some people don't need it, because some people do need to be checked a little bit. You know what I'm saying? That their parenting skills or whatever is off. But that they were created just to create jobs for people. You know what I mean? Keep certain fundings going on. You know,
yeah,
and so the kids started using that against the parents. Kids use that against their parents.
But Jesus, I don't know about y'all, but where was CPS, ACS when I was getting beat down when I was a bad kid? I don't even know. When I had to go outside and pick that switch for myself, or I had to go and that belt was waiting for me when I came home, I don't know where any of that stuff was. I mean, not that I would have called them anyway. Or not that I would have told anybody anyway, because I was taking that whooping like a champ, because I was bad.
Yep.
You know, I was bad and my mouth was slick. So I understand.
Yep.
But I don't ever remember them being involved then. I'm just saying.
Never.
I trust me, I've
a few whoopings myself. I've listen. My brother still teases me to this day about certain whoopings I got. It's so funny. But, you know, at some point, the parents... We were somewhat losing our authority with our children, and other outside sources were raising them, whether it came from CPS, whether it came from now, where it's coming from the internet. We have video games. We all have a lot of outside sources now raising our children. And again, it's you know, you have some parents that just don't feel like being bothered either. Like, oh, you getting on my nerves. Go in there. Just go get it. Or, you know what I'm saying? Go turn on your video game. Or let me give him some Ritalin. Now, I don't know if y'all ever seen the Cat Williams, one of his stand-ups, and he was talking about how he put his son on Ritalin, which he, you know, and he states that he would never recommend that either. So he was like, my son, all he used to do was just run back and forth, shoo, shoo, shoo. So he said one time he gave him Ritalin, he's like, his son left the kitchen to go to his bedroom and got halfway down the hallway and just was, like, sitting there. So he's like, what you thinking about, son? He was like, running. He's just thinking about running, but he was so doped up till physically he could not do anything. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And it's just I find it a cruel way to control children's thought processes.
But you know what?
I'm
going to be honest with you. When it's behavioral, none of that medication works. And I'll be the first one to tell you. Because
they're going to come up their high and be acting up again anyway.
Look, we do restraints and we do IM. And I don't mind getting physical. They know what? They know that Miss P's gonna get down with the get down. They know I'm gonna get down. I don't care. I don't care the size. They know I'm gonna do what I gotta do. I'm strictly one of the guys. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't care, because when I feel we get to that point and there's no return, and instead of when I feel like, okay, you're gonna try to attack us, because remember, a lot of these kids are behavioral. The psych part of it, or the diagnosis part of it, is because now that they're prescribed medication, that's supposed to help them calm down. Because somebody's in denial that it's behavioral. But see, I'm the first person to let them know, this is behavioral right here. Because if I can give you a piece of candy and tell you to sit your behind down somewhere, or I could tell you, hey, you know what, you want to go outside with the boys, this is what I'm going to need you to do. I'm going to need you to go sit over there and just cool out, participate in this group right here, and be going outside. And you could do it, that means that's behavioral. That's not
that's behavioral, that's right.
But guaranteed,
that's right.
You're going to get a diagnosis, because now, when you get so upset now because you have so much aggression inside of you, now you're going to get a diagnosis and be put on medication. That medication is going to affect you ultimately. And when I tell you, it used to not be a lot of, you know, African-Americans coming up in there, but lately, it's a lot of African Americans coming up in there, and I'm looking at you with a screw face, because I know what it is. I know you should have did that pow pow a little while ago, and you wouldn't have this problem.
I said I'm
going to
go outside
right
and get some more switches for you guys now.
Exactly. Yep. And I tell them, I don't mind, because they know that I'm outspoken, and when it comes down to my job, I love what I do, and I love the people that I work with. You know, I love the kids that I work with, because I believe you can save somebody. You know, and they're at that age where they're impressionable, where you could get them to look the other way and to act differently at that age. They can turn their life around. I get it. You know what I'm saying? They can do that now. Those adults that's been drug addicts since they were teenagers and nobody ever helped them, or they didn't want the help for themselves, they're always going to be a drug addict. You know what I'm saying? They're going to go from that marijuana to them going from the marijuana. So, you know what? I'm going to do me some coke real fast. You know, it's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that could be male or female. They don't really care. And I feel like I'm seeing a lot of situations where these kids think that they got so much power, they're telling you, I'm not going back home. Send me wherever you want to send me. I'm not going home.
Right.
Huh? You're not doing what? See, back in the day, I wish I would tell my mother I'm not going home and see what
happens.
What
I'm not going to do.
You're not going to what?
That devil is
not
a lie.
Exactly. But see, that's what the problem is. And it's sad, because this is our future. And I've seen some girls, even like social media and stuff like that, that I've had in the hospital, that find me and say, Miss P, I'm doing good. Miss P, I thank you. You know what I'm saying? Because they know Miss P can be very rude, and they call me the mother of the unit, because I shut it down. I shut it down completely. And they know, I wish you would raise your voice to me. I wish you would. What? Oh, okay, you know what? All right, I got something for you. And automatically, to them, you say that to your kid, they think you're going to get the belt, or you're going to handle the business. Nah, I'm going to get you where it hurts. The boy's going outside at 2 o'clock. By 2:05, you're going to say sorry, because you want to get outside. You're not going today. You're not going today. Those are behavioral. But those diagnoses that they're given, we were talking about mental illness. And when people say, oh, you know, mental illness, we got to be careful how we say it, because a lot of people require some assistance because they're going through something mentally. A trauma happened to them, or they're going through a situation, like some people say, okay, well, you know what? I done went to 2 deaths with a cop and killed my brother. And let's just say killed my best friend. Now I'm mad at the world and I want all the cops dead. How do you get somebody to change their mind from that? You see what I'm saying? How do you get somebody to change their mind from their way of thinking? Well, damn, the cops killed one of those cops and killed my brother and my best friend, and I want everybody dead. What you going to tell them to persuade them? Oh, don't do it. Oh, it was justifiable. Oh, that person's going to jail. Oh, all cops aren't the same. They're not trying to hear you. They're grieving right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to come up with a solution. We got to come up with a solution that we're nationwide. So anybody that's listening can call in. What's your solution? You know, how do you feel about it? you know, you guys are telling yours. I think Rachel and Miss Mobetta, you guys got to give, you know, your, you know, what you think, you know, you would do in that situation. Not even what everybody mm-hmm. would do, because what everybody do necessarily isn't what other people would do. But what's mm-hmm. your personal mm-hmm. opinion? What do you think you should do? You know, me personally, you know me first, I'm going to pray about any and everything. I'm going to pray about mm-hmm. it and pray about it and pray about it. And each person I come into contact with, I'll try to get you to see the better. I'll try and get you to see the good side of life versus the negative side of life, because it's always easier to think negative than think positive. You can always
exactly.
find a million and one negative things, but you can't find a million and one positive things because your mindset is always on negative at this point. Me, mm-hmm. I'm going to try to take my time and pray about it and sit down and have a conversation with you. If I can see you at least to see, get you to understand at least one thing that's different, then I know that I've touched you a tad bit. And you'll think of like, damn, you know what, this is what she said. Maybe I could try it. You might say, maybe I could try it. I tried it. It didn't work. But at least it's another mm-hmm. way of thinking. I'm going to try to get you to think differently. I'm going to try to bring you to some type of realization about the situation. That's what I'm going to do. Mm. What about you guys?
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah.
I was bumped off.
Patience.
I just got back on.
Patience.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Patience. I have dealt with a lot of people in my line of work. I used to work in a group home. I worked in group homes for over 10 years and
wow.
dealt with all types of behaviors and psych problems. And I have in the past rushed into, you know, when I was inexperienced, I would rush into it, you know. But you got to have patience and learn that person. And you want to always be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Know yourself and what triggers you and learn your needs first. And then that way you can be able to help someone else.
That's
because
right.
you're gonna knowing yourself, you're gonna be able to learn the next person and know their wants and needs and be patient and go about it and use the least restrictive. You know, you don't want to go right into the takedown. You don't want to go right into giving them the medication. You want to, you know, use like
voice of reason.
yeah, yep. The least gradient. You know, yeah.
Voice
the least,
of reason.
Yeah, you really want to be patient and just be proactive about it. Think what you're doing and know what you're doing. Know yourself, and you know you can help someone else. I know in my experience that's how, you know, I used to, and still now, you know, I know if I see one of the residents now I'm in long-term care, and I see one of my residents, and if I don't know that resident, I don't know their needs, but I know myself, and I know that what I need to do, which is be patient, be calm at all
mm-hmm.
times, because I used to jump right on in and just like, you know, to want to throw somebody on the floor, you know, or throw
uh-huh.
shoes, or, you know, and even with my own kids, when my kids are 7 years apart, my son, when he was growing up, I used to be very hands-on with him, and if CPS, you know, if CPS had seen the way that I was treating him and dealing with him and beating him, they would have called it abuse. And at that time, though, I was unhappy, and I was taking a lot of my anger out on my loved ones. So I'm grateful that, you know, that my son even forgave me for being a little bit over-aggressive. But my daughter, on the other hand, I don't have to even stand tall or, you know, I just have to give her that look. I don't have to yell. I don't have to raise my voice. I don't even have to stand up. I just give her that look, and she knows, you know. So times change, people change, we change, and you know, I'm like Lavina, Miss Storm. I'm a big prayer. I pray, I praise God. I definitely do, and I'm a big crybaby too. I cry and I pray, and my kids when they were little, they thought I was crazy. They thought I was crazy when I would just fall on my knees, crying and praying. But you know what? They learn from it. And now they, you know, when they see me, and I'm upset sometimes, my 23-year-old son and my 16-year-old daughter, they, you know, they remind me at times, Mom, let me give you what you gave me, which is to teach someone to, you know, or remind someone to be calm and to pray. And to, even if it's just meditate or just go listen to some music or, you know, do something that you like that keeps you sane. Because you don't want to get up, you know, you don't want to get upset. You don't want to get to that point. So you want to do something and teach others to do something that they like doing, even if it's drawing or just laying and just looking at the stars or the sun or the clouds or, you know, something therapeutic. You know?
Which is so nice. I don't know if you guys have ever tried that, but if you actually, like, sit in the car one night or lay on the grass or whatever one night and just look up at the stars, it's, like, really peaceful. Just saying. I don't know if you guys tried that.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It really is. If you have a hammock, it's let me tell you something, it's very, very peaceful, very serene to lay under the stars and stuff. Just put on some off, that's all.
But see, that's why I said sit in the car. Because if you sit in the car, I could sit right in the car with the windows rolled up, and I could just go straight through the window. And I'm telling you, it's so peaceful. It's like a peaceful feeling. It's something that, you know, it's not even like the whole world has stopped. It's just like you don't hear and you don't see anything. You're just looking up at the stars.
The same. Peace of mind.
Yep. Absolutely.
Just saying. But Diva, Ms. Ray Queen, I do want to commend you on a job well done, you know, with your son. I know that, you
Thank
know, you.
You
were probably a little bit, you know, rough on him or whatever, but I'm going to tell you, out where we're from, all of us are pretty much from the same area, pretty much, you know, a couple towns over, let's just say. It's a blessing to have children make it out.
Absolutely.
Those type of areas, you know, and Miss Mo better you as well, you know, because
you have an adult son
and an adult daughter, so therefore you guys know the struggle, and it's a blessing to have our kids make it out alive. That's a blessing. That's a blessing right there.
Absolutely.
Something that was done correctly. Just saying.
Yep. Absolutely. I thank God for my children. I thank God for their souls because they have old souls. You know, they were never really followers. they were never really followers when it came to stuff with people. You know, like the trends and all that stuff. They were never really followers. They wasn't trend followers. They're pretty much trendsetters. They're quiet. Well, my oldest son, he's very quiet. Very quiet, very private man. And sometimes my mom got to look in the room to see if he's there because he's quiet. You know, he's so quiet. But, you know, as far as, like, with stuff going on and giving these kids medicine and all, I just think that you have to try all avenues before you say, this is what I have to do. You know what I mean? You make sure you try everything, like you said, Storm. We got all kind of mechanical things that we gonna wrap you up if we have to. You know, we have all kinds of stuff that we gonna try all of this stuff before I say I have to. I'm gonna ready to change your life forever because putting kids on medicine, that's what happens. Their lives are changed. If that's what we were talking about at this point, because like I said, I was bumped off. Okay, and you know, exhaust all avenues, you know, all resources before you say this is what I have to do. You know what I mean? And putting them on Ritalin and different things like that, that keeps CPS jobs and stuff going. This is what keeps them really going. And people don't even realize that. Oh, because now there's controlled substance in your house. You know what I mean? We're gonna see. Like you said, then they start monitoring the parents. Let's see how they're interacting with the parents and stuff like that. Like you said, when you pray, and I'm a firm believer of prayer, you have to know what to pray for. Because sometimes people will pray and your prayers are not getting as high as the ceiling. And you can believe that. You know what I mean? So you have to know exactly what to pray for. If you're struggling with patience for yourself, that's what you pray for. Pray for patience, which I have to do all the time, because I swear, Lord, I be missing patience.
I
be going out the window, child. So if you ever pray for me with my patience. So, but you know, you have to really, sometimes you have to get into specific prayer. You know what I mean? You have to. I'm going to state to you what I need. If you have a problem in your finances, if you have a problem with your romance, you have a problem, again, with patience, you have a problem with your children, you pray for, that's what you pray, you get into specifics. You know what I mean? Just, that's not to say you don't do general prayer and pray for other people, because that's not it. But it's just that when you see that you're having a problem, you attack that problem head on. This is why I'm here. This is what I need help with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer in that. And I'm not afraid to chastise my kids anywhere. DPS don't scare me. I'm sorry.
I used to tell my son, if you
I'll
don't
check
mind,
them anywhere.
If you don't mind being embarrassing, I don't mind embarrassing you. I mean, please,
hello.
Let's do this.
Hello,
so
let's get
it. I used to tell him, I'm going to call Mr. White Man on you, and he used to yell, I don't want to see Mr. White Man.
Oh, my gosh. You said Mr. White Man. Oh, my goodness. That is too funny. But, yeah, now you have to, once the children themselves see that you're surrendering to them, they take that and run with it. You understand? They will exploit you on that. So, you know, we have to just keep your foot down. You know what I'm saying? Your times are changing, but there's some of the old-fashioned things that still actually work.
Yeah.
Like discipline. You know what I'm saying? No way you're not going to tell me I can't discipline my child. I'm not abusing them. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You do have some people that will abuse children. You know what I mean? You check them.
Exactly.
You know, don't generalize. Now, this was a statement. And this is reverting back to Officer Familia's funeral today. The commissioner, the police commissioner, had a speech, but he said one thing in the speech that made a lot of sense, and I just wanna quote that. And the quote was, it says, "Hate has consequences. When we demonize a whole group of people, whether by race, religion, or occupation, the end result is death." This was the end result. And that's what happens. That's what happens. Because even as far as like the black men, people are intimidated by black men just solely on their appearance. Nothing more. You see a black man, automatic intimidation. Automatic intimidation. You understand what I'm saying? So you see, most of the people that were killed were black men. You know, they were black men. And every cop story is like, I fear for my life. They really do. I'm not saying that they don't fear for their lives, but you're in a position where it should be the opposite. The black man is actually should be fearing with their life. You're carrying a firearm. You're carrying a firearm. You're supposed to be a trained professional. You're supposed to be a trained professional. Now, if you can't do your job, if you can't handle that job, this is not the place for you. This is not the occupation for you. So now what's happening is now all of the police officers are being generalized, good, bad, or indifferent, because of what was displayed. Like I said, because of the mark they precedented. They set that up. This is how people handle you now, because you can't be trusted. So and again, it's a sad situation. It's really sad that she was taken out unjustly. You know, it's not like she was in a gun battle. She was just, you know, basically doing her job, filling out paperwork, and her life was taken for no reason. And like I said, I'm not just going to automatically say that he was a cop hater. Yeah, he was a cop hater, but along with having a mental issue too. You know what I'm saying? He was sick. He was really sick for you to kill a cop out there in the wide open just for nothing. He almost knew he was going to die. He knew it. You know what
Maybe
I mean?
Maybe that was his plan, though. Maybe that was his plan. That was his. That's
that,
what
he to go
wanted.
Out as
you know,
a rebel,
people,
right?
No, but you know what? Not even just.
All right, she'll be back on in a second. But yeah, like so I'm saying, that's probably what he had in his plans to, you know, I'm going to go kill this cop. Yeah, I know they're going to kill me, but who cares? What I got to live for? You know what I'm saying? He didn't really think too highly of himself either. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. A lot of times you don't know what's going on in the next person's head. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You really don't. That's like that man that killed that 18-year-old girl over road rage. Well, he had to have something else going on in his head than to just, because y'all battling over, merging over into a doggone lane, you pull up to her and shoot her in the head because she wouldn't let you in the lane or however. That man was sick.
Wow.
That was sick, but guess what? He's still alive. He ain't dead. They didn't kill him. You know what I'm saying? And when they arrested, they might have stopped and got him some Burger King too. So, you know what it is too, and not to keep reverting back to race, but a lot of that's really the common denominator. That's the reality.
The
common denominator is race. You understand what I'm saying? Now. Because racism was never abolished. It was only pacified. You understand what I'm saying? It was never abolished. It was never really done away with it. All they did was shift things. They shift things from blatant to cover up. You know what I mean? They went from being blatantly prejudiced and stuff like that to cover up. And then once black people started getting a little more freedom, to study, be able to read and get an education and all kinds of stuff.
Steve, can you hear me?
Then we became a threat. Oh, you're back. Okay. Then black people became a threat.
Can
you know
hear
what
me?
I'm saying?
Hello. Hold on, Davis. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. Then black people became a threat. Physically, they already know black people were very dominant. You know what I mean? And then once we started getting a little more freedom, we could almost say what we felt like saying without having to be lynched. That made white people angry. You understand what I'm saying? It made them angry. Now, with 44 in office, which is Obama, once he got into office, it was like pouring alcohol on a cut.
Uh-huh.
It was like pouring alcohol on a cut, and it started stinging. Because, again, they already didn't want to get rid of slavery. We'd have still been slaves picking cotton and shit. But once he got into to one of the highest positions you could ever hold in this world, they said, "What is this world coming to?"
Now, Viva, just to piggyback on something that you said, Miss Mobetta, when it comes down to the guy that shot the cop, you were mentioning how, like, you know, he has like a mental illness or whatever, and you were saying, you know, maybe he would like think he's a hero or whatever, and I just want to play devil's advocate with that, because that doesn't, to me, when I hear about a person with mental illness and how they opened fire and they killed somebody or whatever, I don't think of them wanting to be a hero. I think of them having a death wish and them being a coward and not being able to take their own life. So they know if they do something, then that means that someone's automatically going to take their life. So if no one took their life out on the street, as soon as they went to the precinct or wherever he was going to go, somebody was going to take his life.
Right, you know, he
wasn't going to survive that. So in my head, I kind of want to think
and he
that,
knew
you know
that.
What, right, he knew that, you know what, I'm tired of living, I'm tired of this life, but I'm a coward, I can't kill myself.
Yeah.
I know if I'm seeing a woman, and what the lady, what his girlfriend is not saying is, Did they have a perfect relationship? Did they have bad fight? Was he mad at her or something go, you know what I'm saying? Did something happen that made him snap all of a sudden this one particular day? He saw the cops sitting, see what I'm saying? There's so many other things that I just feel like we'll never know, because when it comes down to something like this, it's so many other questions. Like me, I overanalyze everything. And automatically, in my head, I'm like, you know what? He had a wish to die. And his wish was accomplished because he knew, okay, you know what? I'm crazy. I have a mental illness. I'm going through something. Everybody know I'm going through something, and I'm not able to get the help that I need. I'm tired of this life right here. So because I'm tired of this life, this is what I want. So to me, he got what he wanted. You know what I'm saying?
If y'all ever get a chance, just devil's advocate, you're saying. Oh, gosh. If y'all ever get a chance to watch the movie Seven, watch the movie, because what you saying, that was his mentality in the movie. You know what I'm saying? He went around, he judged people, killed them, and then and instead of killing himself, he made somebody sin to kill him. You understand what I'm saying? So if y'all get a chance, that's one of my favorite movies. It's called Seven. It's with Morgan Freeman and Kevin Spacey. It's Gwyneth Paltrow, whatever her name is. But that you just said, that movie, that's what that movie is like, where, you know, he went around judging people, he killed them, and then in the end, you know, he ended up being killed, but he made it somebody else's sin to kill him. You understand what I'm saying? So, but it talks about Dante's Peak and, you know, the Seven Deadly Sins and all that stuff. That's what that movie is about. So, but if you get a chance to watch, it's a good movie. But like you said, he had a death wish. He didn't know how to carry it out on himself.
He did. And just to go a step further, when you think about it and you think of, like, people who were molested or people who were raped or whatever, people who have experienced a trauma, 9 times out of 10, those people commit the same crime that was done to them.
Yep.
When you think about it. It might not be 9 times out of 10, but I give it 7 out of 10 at least.
I totally agree.
They're going to commit the same thing that was done to them because they're confused with what happened, why it happened, where was God when it happened, why did God allow this to happen, and you know what? Because God allowed it, I don't believe anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So then they start questioning God. Yep.
Exactly. So to me, I think that what happens is it goes right along the same lines of this, you know, of the same topic we're talking about. When someone has experienced something, it didn't have to be to that, you know, extreme, but it could be something that person's dealing with, and that's their way out. That's their way of dealing with the problem. Like how we have, like, I think the little boy was like 10 years old, and he killed himself. Who would have thought a 10-year-old, 12-year-old would actually hang himself or would commit suicide? As parents and even as family members, aunts and uncles or whoever we are, we tend to think, well, you know, now what was this kid thinking about that would make them do something like this? What type of stress did they go through that would make them go the extreme like this? What do you mean? It's called whatever I'm going through, no one saw the signs, and I'm tired of living this life that I'm living. See what I'm saying? So I just think that, you know, we just have to be aware, and just make sure we pay attention to what's going on, pay attention to our signs, you know, the signs that we see, whether it's with our kids or whether it's with a complete stranger in the street. If you're sitting in your car, you want to make sure that you know where everybody are. Well, damn, I'm going to be alert now. I want to know exactly where I'm at. I want to know where I'm at, what I'm doing. I want to make sure I see everybody and see what they're doing. Because if you're going to sneak up on me, I want to make sure that you know that I see you coming and I'm prepared. You know, I don't want to be that comfortable. I don't want anybody to ever feel that comfortable where they can sit anywhere that they want and they think that something harm can't come to them. Harm can come to you no matter where you are. You can walk out of your house.
You see the people that was killed in the church. And where would you say is the safest place to be other than your house but church? You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You see what happened.
Exactly. Yep.
We see what happens.
Yep.
Too.
Like you said, they fed that sucker some Burger King. They should have been feeding him dog poop.
But you know what, though? But I'm going to tell you something. If it wasn't in the house of the Lord, he would have never made it out. Think about it. He would have never made it out. If it was any other place besides the house of the Lord where people believe in forgiveness, they believe in understanding, they're going to get you to think another way. If it was any other place in somebody's house that somebody ran up and did something like that and there was still people that could tackle him down, he never would have made it because they would have took that weapon and used it on him.
Yep.
But because it was the house of the Lord and people believe in forgiveness, that's why it happened the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of those people that even attend that church, they believe in forgiveness. They forgave him as soon as it happened.
Mm-hmm.
They forgave him as soon as it happened. They forgave him. They understood. And I guarantee 9 times out of 10, they weren't even upset that the police fed them some food. I think they would have fed them some food if they could have.
I'm going to tell you, God's honest truth, I wouldn't.
Because it's forgiveness. it's forgiveness. That's a test of your faith. That's a test of where you are in your life. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not at that point yet. I'm a work in progress. I'm not there yet.
Amen.
I can forgive people, but there's a part of me that still says I want to put my hands and my feet all over you because I'm upset.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a work in progress, but there's a lot of people out there that's not a work in progress, and they're at that point already when someone do them wrong, they can forgive them as soon as it's done. I'm that person where it's going to take me a while to forgive you, but I'm going to forgive you because the Bible says
that I have to forgive you.
But you're going to have to give me some time to let me inhale, exhale, and remind myself not to put my hands around your neck when I see you.
Yeah. Try to see people for who they really are. You're like, you know what? Something wrong with them. Lord, I don't know what they got going on, but
I'm just going to say I like my freedom, but I think I'm too cute for jail. I'm just saying. I think I'm too cute for jail.
Child, you know
I ain't going there.
Then I got to fight every day to keep my love to myself. All this booty. I was close, but
we definitely talk about different things on the show tonight. What's your final thought about everything? I don't know if Gina's still here. If she is, she can go first. If not, you know, we'll keep on going around the round table. You know, we're sitting chilling. What's
Gina?
You guys' final thought?
Well, I think everything has been. I mean, we all. To me, have said everything in a nutshell. Everything said here tonight has definitely represented my thoughts on all that we were talking about, and I definitely enjoyed myself and had a great night. So as far as my final thoughts, it's already been said. I second that opinion as to what you know has already
emotion.
Been said tonight. yes. Definitely. So I'm going to pass the mic on.
All right.
I definitely enjoyed myself. It was a great show. You know me. I like to do devil's advocate, you know, because we got a lot of listeners in, so I want them to know that, you know, we definitely give opinions, but we also, you know, we give them different points of views on every topic that we talk about. We give you different points. We give you from us, you know, because a lot of, you know, us divas right here, you know, we think in both ways. We can put ourselves in both shoes. And that allows us to give opinions to everybody, you know, and not just women, so to speak, men, children, other adults, and everybody together. So I just want to say that I think that it was a great show tonight. I think that we touched on a lot of great topics. And I feel that, you know, the work that we're doing right now is the work that we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking forward to, you know, the new ventures and stuff that we're going to be trying to do as a whole. And I'm looking forward to all the growth that we have. I did not, I don't remember... if there's a show on Friday, I'm sorry, I forgot. I don't know if there's a show on Friday. I don't think there's a show on Friday. But if there is a show on Friday, you'll see the link all over your walls. Don't worry.
Right.
Praise God.
Okay. Again, We like to thank all our callers and listeners for the show. Y'all gonna hear my little dog barking in the background. The topics tonight was, you know, some things that just need to be said. The main thing is pay attention to mental health issues with people. Pay attention when they start acting different and stuff like that. You know, just be aware. You know, and if you notice some things, you know, start communicating and get help.
Bless you.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
Don't be afraid to chastise your children. Don't surrender your power or whatever, because again, you'll be exploited for that. So, I just thank God for the opportunity for us to open these doors and this platform up, just to speak about things. And again, condolences to the Familia family, the Officer Familia's family. May they find peace and comfort in God's grace. We don't condone any kind of violence or murder or anything like that. That's just not the move. So, you know, God be with everybody. Thanks for calling, and call back same time next week.
Yeah. God bless you all.
God bless you all. Have a blessed rest of the week.
All right.
I holla.
Hi.
Pretty large families, and I'm the baby of the family. And you know, you never grow up.